What is going on? We've got a big show. It's going to let some viewers jump on the live stream while I get my little intro and all that stuff ready. So if you've never watched this before, my name is Steve. I host this little show and run the website called Freight Broker Live. It's where we talk freight every single day. So I talk news, I talk current events, I talk some training stuff, I talk about the website and all the work that I've done on it. I literally just talk about freight for an hour or more, depending on what. Hey, did you guys hear we're ranked number 68 in business news on iTunes? Pretty rad. In the United States, I think we're still ranked like 50 in India for some reason. Not quite sure. But today's show, we've got a bunch of interesting content. So we have a big article I just wrote, but I didn't really have time to share it out, about Amazon and a new lawsuit with a driver who, I don't know, I'll get into it. We have another lawsuit that I reported on last night by two South Carolina construction workers who were killed by a truck driver. It's got some interesting things in there. Got a drunken trucker. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to go over some rates and then we'll open it up as the normal call-in show and all that good stuff. But at first, or like I do every single day, here's my intro. Bit different today. I forgot what I was doing. Anyway, today is January 21st. It is exactly 2:01 p.m. My timing is impeccable. It is cold here in Florida. I don't know about anywhere else, but when I say cold, it was like, I don't know, 30 degrees or so out today. It was very cold. And I swear, every single day my phone rings right at 2 o'clock every day. But yeah, so it's pretty cold here. It's cold everywhere, I guess. Oh, and now we're really going off. Phone numbers ringing and stuff. But yeah, at any rate, like I was saying, let me turn this music off and then we'll get into it. But yeah, so my name is Steve. The show is called Freight Broker Live. It's the one and only talk show run by a freight broker, a guy who, as Toe Piglet on YouTube says, never sleeps. I live and breathe freight. So I look all the time. Like last night, I was working until, I don't know, 11:30. I think I put out that last article pretty late and working on all the back end stuff. But I love this industry and I love writing and I love trying to break stories and get the news out there and news that I think is relevant. And a lot of people seem to agree with me. And, you know, I try to cover the topics that it seems like a lot of the other media outlets don't want to cover because, well, I don't know why, they just don't feel like it. But if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like it. Please hit the bell, subscribe, do whatever you got to do there. I forgot to tag it properly, so it's probably not going to get a lot of views. If you're watching this on Facebook, please go ahead and share it out. If you're watching this on podcast, or if you're listening to this on iTunes or Google or any other podcast player, please make sure you like, leave a review, do whatever you got to do. All right, so I'm going to start. So as always, our sponsor for this month is Trucker Tools. Now, if you don't know who Trucker Tools are or is, it's a free Trucker Tools mobile application, which is available on Android or Apple devices. It's loaded with driver-friendly features, top-of-the-line tools to increase drivers' comfort and experience. It offers over 15 features, including truck stop guides and rest areas, which is kind of funny because there's a conversation going on in one group about whether drivers need paid parking and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but it's got routing and fuel optimizers, listings of medical examiners, listings of weigh scales, and more, all while using minimal battery and data. Drivers also have the capability of scanning any pertinent documents, such as proof of delivery, bill of lading, all that good stuff. It's a really good app. You should have it. I'm guessing most of you guys do because I think it's got millions of downloads anyway, and it's free, so it doesn't cost you anything. So you might as well download it and be able to use all the resources it has. So our first news story of the day is one I just put out. Literally just press send. I actually meant to schedule it for 3 o'clock, so I could have broke the story here, but I didn't get to. And it's already getting some traction. So if you see it, check it out. So it's called
Amazon under fire.
So Amazon, well, a truck driver is suing retail giant Amazon and one of its freight delivery partners, alleging that both companies willfully and routinely coerced him to operate a motor vehicle in violation of FMCSA's hours of service and, quote, worked him into the ground like a rented mule and intentionally deprived him of sleep, end quote, which resulted in the driver falling asleep and crashing his truck on October 31st, 2019. He was injured. It doesn't look like anybody else was. There's a lot of stuff here, man. If this, I can't tell whether it's valid. The one thing I'll say, I did read the petition. I'm actually probably going to publish a petition, the actual lawsuit. I'm probably going to publish that just because no matter how hard I was trying to write it, and granted, I was under time constraints to get the story out, but I couldn't. I mean, the lawsuit was filed pro se. So anyone who doesn't know what that means is he's representing himself. So it's not professionally written like a lawyer. It's written, he uses quotation marks constantly throughout the petition. and it's funny. And he even wrote, like, I chuckled or something like that in the petition. So it was really, you know, I don't know where it's going to go. But if it is true, I mean, the company he worked for, or he says he worked for in this lawsuit, and it's public, so I could say it, was AAA Freight out of Chicago, 196 trucks. Apparently, they forced dispatched the guy. He was a lease operator, so he was leasing a truck from AAA Leasing, and which he leased right onto them, and he was doing the Amazon dedicated stuff. Apparently, they just forced dispatch him. They were making him work insane. They kept modifying his hours. According to him, on the logbooks, they were modifying his hours, telling him he had to work, threatening to take the truck. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's my personality. I don't think I'll ever let anyone get that much control over me. But he did, and he was driving and driving and driving, and he ended up falling asleep and crashing into a concrete barrier and injuring himself pretty good, according to the complaint, totaling his truck, losing his job because he couldn't drive for him. I tried to pull up the you know, inspection reports for that accident. I couldn't find any for that day, which is kind of weird because normally you can find them. You know, it just the stuff, and that's why I gotta post it, because a lot of the stuff the guy was saying, it was almost hard to believe. Like, that someone would say that, and that they're fudging the ELD records and doing this and doing that. It was pretty far-fetched. And then the fact that he has a lawsuit and he has a case, if he was really forced dispatch and all that, why couldn't he go to some lawyer? Because, you know, lawyers are out there every day trying to get cases. Why wouldn't a lawyer pick up this case and just give him a real complaint? I mean, the complaint reads like, you know, high schoolers writing a paper or something. You know what I mean? It has quotations. It's not written like a legal briefing. So it kind of caught me off guard, but nonetheless, it's a story. It involves
Amazon.
And so I figured I would cover it. I did reach out to AAA Freight. And after being transferred back and forth to different people every 20 minutes or for about 20 minutes, I finally got through to some guy. Started talking to him about it, told him who I was, told him what I was trying to figure out. And he's like, I have no idea what you're even talking about. We're not part of any lawsuit. So they haven't even been notified of the lawsuit yet. Granted, it was just filed on the 15th. But I'm going to follow it because I'm pretty curious to see what the guy gets out of it. I mean, he's suing Amazon, saying that they forced dispatched him through the carrier by threatening to take the business and all sorts of stuff. So I will publish that actual filing so you guys can read it. It's 27 pages. It's pretty long, but it really puts a different context to the article, and so I figured I should put it out. I just didn't have time to figure out how to attach it with my new site. But our second story, which is one I wrote last night, the families of two South Carolina Department of Transportation workers killed in a roadside crash in July of last year have filed suit against the driver who reportedly caused the crash along with his employer. Now, this happens every day. There was just another driver that was charged criminally for I believe it was a fatal accident last year. There's a couple other lawsuits filed today. for truckers that were in accidents. This one's kind of interesting because of what I'm going to read and the reasons and the basis that they're filing the reason for the wrongful death lawsuit. So last year, 35-year-old Cecil Morgan and 29-year-old David Sebek, I hope I said that right, died after a Ferguson Enterprises straight truck driven by James Tyrone Williams hit two vehicles that were stopped in a construction traffic and then hit the two workers while they were working in the road. They were actually trying to get out of the way of the truck because they saw it coming and were unable to. Five other people were injured, and a sixth received medical care but refused to transport to the hospital. So for anyone who doesn't know who Ferguson Enterprises are, Ferguson Enterprises headquartered in Newport News, Virginia. They are the largest U.S. distributor of plumbing supplies, PVF, waterworks, and fire and fabrication products. And it has 3,035 power units and 2,850 commercial drivers, according to the FMCSA. The workers' families brought the individual suits alleging Williams was driving over 50 miles an hour as he proceeded past the warning signs for reduced speed in road construction and plowed into two stop vehicles. The lawsuit claims that, and this is where it gets a stretch, because this, anyone that's slightly obese, granted, we do have our fitness section on freightbrokerlive.com that we're working on, but the lawsuit claims that Williams was not medically qualified or fit to drive due to severe obesity, hypertension, and or obstructive sleep apnea. So that made me pay attention to the article. Everything else was kind of nothing. It wasn't really, I mean, granted, people died, it sucks, and there was a lawsuit, but lawsuits happen all the time. People, unfortunately, are dying in truck accidents all the time, every day. There was just one in Florida yesterday, a dump truck driver that flipped over, got trapped, the truck caught on fire, and the police that were there trying to rescue him could not get him out in time, and they had to listen to it while the guy was essentially killed. That happens every single day. The reason why this is interesting is they specifically said because he was not medically qualified or fit to drive due to severe obesity, hypertension, or obstructive sleep apnea, which caused me to pull up the company's safety records to find the, because I figured, okay, well, he didn't have a medical card. That must have been what it was. So he's going to have a violation for not having a medical card. No. That he didn't have a violation for that. And I'm like, wait, maybe they just didn't do any violations, because sometimes with fatal accidents, it takes a while for it to show up. Like, for example, the Amazon story, that's not even showing up at all as a crash under AAA Freight or whatever their company name is. But so I started looking up other violations that matched that day, and I found it. But there was no mention of a driver not qualified to drive or not having a medical card or anything like that. The vehicle was a 2014 Freightliner straight truck, so with a good possibility, knowing Ferguson, because I used to be a logistics manager for a unionized mechanical contractor, so Ferguson delivered to us all the time. I know those trucks are typically non-CDL, the Freightliners that are doing the local deliveries. They have tractors and all that. But the lawsuit specifically claiming he was not medically qualified or fit to drive due to severe obesity, hypertension, or obstructive sleep apnea makes me think that that is a severe reach, because the guy was big. I tried to find a picture of him. I couldn't find anything. Maybe just because he's big and they're just trying to go after it. They do have a case because of another reason. At the time of the collision, Defendant Williams operated a commercial vehicle while Defendant Williams' ability or alertness was impaired or likely to become impaired through fatigue, illness, or any other cause such as severe obesity, obstructive sleep apnea, or hypertension as to make it unsafe for Defendant Williams to continue to operate the commercial motor vehicle. It's an extreme stretch, in my opinion. They're saying, okay, because the guy was obese, he may have been tired, therefore wasn't able to stop. The Ferguson also received violations because I believe it was four of their brake units were not functioning properly, and the truck was put out of service after the accident because of that. So the truck just wasn't stopping properly. I just think it's crazy. These people, or the families, have sued Ferguson, but they also sued the truck driver. So now the truck driver, who has lost his job, was in an accident, has to live with the fact that he killed two people in an accident, whether or not, whatever the circumstances are. Now he's going to have to hire an attorney and spend additional money. Granted, the company should do it. Actually, the company's insurance company should do it. But it's just undue stress. And I think that's why when we talk about insurance crimes and that we need to regulate some of the problems and some of the reasons why people can go out and file lawsuits like this, or what is it? Tort litigation or whatever. There's a term for it. Frivolous. I wouldn't say this is frivolous. People died, but there has to be a better way to deal with it. But that's an interesting story. There's a little bit more on freightbrokerlive.com you could find for the story. It's going to be in the upper right-hand corner in the featured section because it is a story. It is a popular story. A lot of people watched it. Plus, I sent out an alert because it is Ferguson. Ferguson is a massive company. They're one of the top like 60 private fleets in the United States. They're a very big multi-billion dollar company. So, you know, that's probably one of the reasons why there is a lawsuit, which I don't blame, you know, I can't really blame them on a personal level. I can't really blame the families. You lost somebody. You're trying to make somebody pay for it. It doesn't seem like they were deemed at fault. So I don't know. I'm not an attorney, so who knows? In another story, and I'm not sure if I covered this in yesterday's video, so I figure I'll just do it again. And you may have seen it because now it's circling around social media like crazy. But I was one of the first social media people to report it. Authorities in Georgia reported via social media that they pulled over a driver for a random level one inspection this morning, yesterday morning. And as the driver was waiting to pull into the inspection bay, he nearly ran into the pit. So, you know, when you go into an inspection bay, kind of like an oil change, when you drive in, they get the pit below where they do their undercarriage inspection. So he apparently was, you know, slurring or swerving, whatever, and almost ran into the pit directly in front of the officer. So that's kind of another issue. The post, which was published on the Georgia Department of Public Safety's Facebook page, went on to say that upon further inspection, the officer performed a standardized field sobriety test on the driver, which he reportedly did not pass. He was given a roadside breathalyzer, and tested well over the legal limit for someone with a commercial driver's license. Here's another fun fact. I know that the legal limit everywhere is 0.08. I knew because I heard it before, but you know, it's been so long. The commercial legal driving limit for anyone with a CDL is 0.04. And I think if they smell alcohol on your breath, they could put you out of service too. Yeah, I don't know that for a fact, but I think if they smell alcohol or suspect it, even if you don't blow 0.04, they could put you out of service for suspicion. Anyway, so he didn't pass for someone with a commercial's driver's license. So, of course, they hooked him up and arrested him. During the vehicle inspection, the officer located two empty bottles of alcohol, a false logbook. Four of the 10 breaks were out of service, along with several other violations. And I think when I did my violation check to see what happened, I think they had 11 total vehicle-only violations on that inspection. So that's pretty crazy. And then in rates, it's just a recap of DAT's lane rates for the week. So van rates have slipped below December levels last week after unexpected surge in the first half of January. The national average rate dropped another penny to $1.93 for vans. That's 1 cent below December. That's 1 cent below the December average, but higher than any other month since December of 2018, which is sad. I'm just going to say that. It's a cent below December, but it's higher than every single other month all the way to last December. Volumes declined week over week, but there's still plenty of loads moving, even when compared to pre-holiday rush that peaked a month ago. Flatbed. Following the holiday season, there have been some interesting spikes. The national average of flatbed rate increased 5% from November to December, and the month of January has seen an uptick even as van and reefer rates have started to dip seasonally. So what's with flatbed? That's a question. But yeah. That's in reefer. I'm not going to cover because reefer rates are still relatively high in comparison to where they were last month. They actually went up, I believe, this month too. But don't mark my words because I didn't write it down, so I don't remember. But yeah, so that's the news. I'll read some of these questions for everyone who hasn't watched. This is a call-in radio show, so you guys can call in. Let me put the number up here. The number is 914-803-4008. You can call in, ask a question, I'll answer it, or you could type your question in chat and I'll read it too. So we have Right Lane on YouTube. He said, any reading on a breathalyzer can put a driver out of service for 24 hours, regardless of what you are driving, you could be riding a moped. Yeah, see, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. But that's interesting, interesting facts. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for the news. It is interesting, right, Lane? Because I've never heard of that. And for someone that really watches live PD religiously every Friday and Saturday night, I've seen something to, I've seen them let people go if they're not drinking. I'm going to have to ask my buddy, though, because I'm curious, or my brother, one or the other. But yeah. So that's essentially it for the news of the day. I'm going to rant a little bit. It's not going to be too heavy, but hopefully some people start asking questions as I rant and talk about things. But so I had someone reach out to me and he asked about whether I help to train or whether I consult or whether I do whatever. And it took me a little bit to figure out what he was saying because he wasn't really making sense. But when I finally said, figured out what he was saying, he was asking if I would train him on to be a broker or a broker. And for one, the answer is no, because if you can't put together sentences, it's probably not going to work anyway. And secondly, that is, and this is a segue into something else. but I was just reading the comment from Mike Timmy on Facebook who said, rant about bunk blank carriers. Well, whatever. This isn't, a big syndicated show, so I could say it. Ran about bunk ass carriers. Yeah, I don't know what bunk ass means, but I'll try to figure it out after. So at any rate, so this guy was looking for a free education to become a freight broker, and it caused me to think about some stuff. So you guys know I often talk about freight broker schools and boot camps and all these Udemy courses and this and that and all these people that are out here training people on how to do stuff. And while some of them I have a problem with, others I don't. Others I think are good, but they're just missing some fundamental capabilities to it. So I started talking with a buddy of mine, Craig Bliss, which you may know from Freight Brokers and Truck Drivers on Facebook. He also owns a company called Freight Brand. And we were ranting back and forth about trying to figure out, hey, how can we train people in such a way that'll deter them from entering the industry if they're not ready? Now that doesn't make sense, right? Because you're probably like, wait, what? Because the fact is that there's so many people out here that are essentially getting suckered by people that are teaching them, training them. They may have their own, when they started, they may have had a vision of what it was supposed to be in terms of training and all that. But for whatever reason, it's skewed, at least in my view. So when I see them, I'm like, okay, well, you can tell. Now it's just about plugging your training program. It's not necessarily about the actual industry and about just making it better. So, I was talking with Craig and we're trying to figure out the best way to not, and I wouldn't even call it train. I would call it given an immersion into the business, both good and bad. Talk about the horror stories, talk about the good stuff. I've got an interesting background in freight. I've had companies that worked. I had companies that didn't work. And so we were talking and we figured out, okay, we are going to run our own. We are going to create a program where people can sign up and we will literally tell you what it's really like. Yeah, rates suck. Drivers hate brokers. Dispatchers are hugging a fine line between being illegal and being illegal. There's no other fine line there unless you have a broker bond. Insurance rates are high. It's not necessarily the best time to get into the business, but if you want to get into the business, then what better way to approach the business by being told by people that actually work in it and people that live it and breathe it every single day. And that will tell you all the bad things. Cause my goal in any training program I do is literally, it's like the scared straight program where they take kids into a prison and they try to scare the shit out of them so they don't want to be there anymore. That's kind of how I want to train people about the freight industry. Because I think right now we got too many soft people in here. We've got carriers. I mean, this guy, if in the Amazon story, if that's actually real, that guy had no business being a lease operator. If he's getting forced dispatch and he's got a guy that says, hey, listen, yo, buddy, you're going to do this or whatever he wrote. And that you I will put it up there so you see what he's talking about. But like the how he was talking and his terminology and just he was getting muscled over the phone by, you know, his dispatcher, according to his filing. And that makes me that's the type of person, it seems, that is coming into the industry now. Why? Because the industry is hard. These people don't necessarily, they either got other stuff going on. I'm starting to get ahead of myself. So here's the thing. The freight industry, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a broker, whether you're a dispatcher, whether you're a logistics manager, it's a full-time job. You cannot do it part-time. Not to start. Maybe once you're in the broker side, you get a bunch of big business, you have it all set up so you don't have to do anything and it's all done automated. And there are ways to do that through agency programs. But until you get to that point, you're going to have to work every single day. You're not going to be able just to say, hey, listen, you know, I want to work, but I can only work 2 hours a day or something. It doesn't work that way. You have to spend from, you know, ask a real freight agent. They start working from the time they get up and take their sip of coffee to the time they go to the bed. And that's it. And because you have to, and it's the same with truck drivers. Granted, truck drivers are mandated to take, time off. I wish brokers were mandated to take time off sometimes, because I get customers that call me at 10 o'clock at night. I get customers that email me, and if I don't respond immediately, they'll email me at, 5 or 6 at night, and I'm eating dinner. And it, literally, if I don't email them back within a minute or two, they start blowing up my phone. I could ignore the phone. They keep blowing it up. They'll call the desk phone. They'll call my cell phone. You know, it's a hard business, and it takes a lot of time to be good at it and to make a living at it. And I think a lot of people forget that. And so when I was talking with Craig, we're like, listen, how can we do our part to make sure the next generation, the next group of dispatchers, the next group of carriers that are coming in, the next group of freight people, the people that are going to carry on the freight business. We're young. I'm young. Craig's young. I think he's younger than me. So we have a different view in logistics from when I entered the business, 15 years ago. I was the outsider. I had all these great plans. I'm like, look what I'm going to do. I tried to work for other people. They weren't ready for me. So I went out and did my own thing and started my own thing. That's why I became, an independent agent and a business owner and all that stuff, because no one could handle it. I had too many goals, and I still do. I mean, I'm talking about opening a production or a media company for powerlifting, all sorts of stuff, but I was trying to think of a way with Craig this morning to figure out a way that we could provide the education that some people want, with the understanding that no, you're not going to become an agent. No, you may not learn enough to go out, but we're going to give you a full immersion. It's going to take a long time because you can't do it in a day. You can't do it in 2 days. You can't do it in 3 days. You can't do it in 4 days. It takes time to learn the business through and through. And so that'll be on there. If you go to the Freight Broker Live webpage, it's not on yet, but it will be later. And then you go to events and then you click Freight Broker Live events. It will have whatever we decide that we're going to do. I know we talked about actually doing like expos and demos. So where you can go to a place and you can get your insurance quotes, you can get everything all there. You can learn about the business. You could see how much it's actually going to cost you. You can get quotes for bonds. You can do all that stuff right there in person. That's one of the ideas that we had. But it's just the industry's sad because a lot of people want free training. And the people that don't want free training don't want to actually train, which doesn't make any sense. If you're in the business or you're trying to get into the business, you have to show that you actually want to be in the business. And that doesn't matter if you see people that have had, I've had my CDL for 4 months and I don't want to co-drive anymore. I don't want to be a trainee. I want to go out and I want to buy my own truck and I want to drive down the road and be a big trucker guy. It takes time. That's why I know Rightland's going to argue about this, but there should be a required training. If you want to go and get your own MC number, pass a test that says, hey, I am ready to go get my MC number. Pass a test that says, hey, I'm not going to rip off carriers and I'm going to pay them on the right way. and say, hey, I'm going to understand that if I dispatch without a broker bond, I'm breaking the law. Like stuff like that, to be honest about it. But unfortunately, people don't do that. So the only thing I can do is say, okay, let's create a program. And I don't care who partners with it, to be honest, as long as we have the same mindset that we're going to be honest. Yes, can you make a lot of money? Yep. But 90% of the people that get into this business lose their money. Maybe not all of it, but they lose it. The smart ones say, oh shit, we're losing our money. Let's pull it out. Let's pull out before it's too late. You know, it took me quite a few times of getting involved in the freight business before I realized, hey, there's certain segments of the industry I don't like. For me, owning trucks wasn't great. Why? Because I always wanted bigger and better things. I have the same thing now. I'm meeting with consultants about my website to do all the stuff I want. And they're like, bro, you're looking for way too much. I do the same thing. You know, I get an idea of, hey, I want to put on a powerlifting competition to find out how to do that. And then go and, you know, get ready to set up another company and do all this stuff just because I have an idea. I've always been that way. When I own trucks, my goal was not to just make a living. My goal was to be a millionaire, to make as much money as I could, as quickly as I could. And to be honest, I did almost everything right. And I say almost everything. I scaled right. I went out and got direct customers. I did all this stuff except, well, I said I scaled right. I didn't take the time to actually save the money that I was making. I just kept reinvesting into the company, just kept reinvesting into equipment, kept hiring more drivers. I swear I would hire a driver, put him, you know, go and lease a brand new truck, get the truck there, sit there. And the first day I missed a load, I'd call up the leasing company, say, hey, I need another truck. How soon can you have it? Well, you can have it tomorrow. I put an ad on Craigslist when Craigslist was good a couple of years ago. I'd have 50 drivers apply up in Jersey. I'd tell them to come in and interview. I do a half-assed, you know, I'd essentially hire them. I'd throw them in a truck. We drive around the block. If they could back up to the dock and they were semi-straight, boom, I'd hire them. And then I'd go through the process of checking their their MC and all that. They had to bring abstracts. So I did a little bit more due diligence than I'm talking about. But I hired them very quickly, and I didn't pre-qual drivers the way I should either, in terms of actually getting to know who they were and feeling it out. And of course, when everything goes wrong, it goes wrong big in my world. And I lost the trucks. I lost, you know, pretty much everything very, very, very quickly. And it wasn't because of money mismanagement. It wasn't because I wasn't making enough money. It's because I didn't save it. Because I didn't save any money. I kept just buying new stuff all the time, buying stuff. I'd buy myself a car. I'd just buy money, and I wouldn't save any of the money. So that way when the shit hit the fan and I had a driver that fell asleep and rolled a truck, and then about a week and a half later, I had another driver run over the hood of some lady's car in Fifth Avenue in Patterson. And then on New Year's Eve, someone stole one of my trucks that was full of computers. I had all that stuff happen all at once. But if I had a savings, I would have been able to handle it, because of course my insurance canceled. There was a lot, and I fought with it for a long time. We ended up winning because the insurance agent committed fraud. But long story short, my insurance canceled. And then every place I called wanted a huge down payment. And then I started actually sitting back and slowing down, because yes, could I have gone to the bank and got a loan? And yeah, probably. You know, I had 18 trucks at that point, all financed. Actually, no, like 15 of them were financed. 3 of them I owned outright. And then I had, you know, well, the 3 that I owned outright were the Sterling L8500 single axle day cabs. Trailers were all leased, so it wasn't a big deal. But I sat there and I was like, do I need to take out another loan just to pay the insurance? Because my insurance rate was going up like $10,000 a month anyway. And I was like, I can't do it. And so I just got out. And I started another trucking company, and I had that for a little bit. And then I just said, I don't want to do it, because I realized the only way I could make money as a trucking company owner, to be honest, for me, was to be behind the wheel. Couldn't count on drivers doing their job. I couldn't. It seemed like my trucks could not make as much money as they could with me in them. I don't know. Maybe it's because I ran hard. Maybe it's because I'm a go-getter. Maybe it's because, you know, I've been doing it a long time. I don't know. So I ended up getting out of the trucking side and went back to brokering. You know, brokering is always, I'm not a huge fan of being a freight broker, to be honest. A lot of people are like, oh, it's great. It's not bad. I make money, but I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of the transaction between a carrier and a broker. It's an ugly transaction. It's not transparent no matter which way you think about it. You're trying to shield the customer on how much you're actually paying the carrier, and you're certainly trying to shield the carrier on how much the customer is paying you. It's just not a comfortable, it's not a great business. It's not something that I actually thoroughly enjoy, but I have a family. I got to do it. And I can't go out and own trucks. I can't do the stuff that I used to do. So the only thing I can do now is be a broker, create the brand, do all the stuff that I actually like to do. And then try to help people, is try to teach people the best way to learn, the best way to get involved in the industry, with the understanding that you have a 90% likelihood that you're going to fail. Whether you're a broker, whether you're a carrier, whether you're a shipper, whether you're not shipper, but what, you know, just a broker, carrier, dispatchers, you shouldn't be failing, because you can just go get a bond, a boom, and then you're a dispatcher. You know, you don't have to go out and get customers. Any single dispatcher can go on a Facebook right now and post and say, hey, I'm a dispatcher. I'll dispatch you for 12 or for 4%, 3%, whatever. You're going to get 100 people that are like, oh, tell me if you can do it. And then you sell them and then boom, you know, but If like the people that are out here training people how to dispatch and saying, oh, just use 1-2-3 load board, that's the only load board you need. Well, you're an idiot. You shouldn't be teaching people that. You know, it costs money to make money. That's the way I think, and that's the way I've always thought about it. Costs money. So, and that's the reason why I like Craig, because Craig is a younger guy. He's got he's got less experience in the industry, but he's got a business savvy. Whereas I've got a lot of business savvy and a lot of experience in the industry, but I get way too far ahead. And so what I would like, and that's the reason why I was talking to him and I reached out to him about it, is I'm like, listen, you talk about on your channel and your shows and all that about the freight broker schools and the scams and the shady ass people that are behind them. So let's do one. I've got a good reputation in the industry. He does. So let's do one. And instead of being brutally honest, or instead of just fooling people full of pipe dreams and saying, hey, we're going to give you this fancy certificate saying you're a certified freight broker, we're going to tell you, hey, any program that gives you a fancy certificate, unless it's a TIA, is a bull crap program and isn't a good one. And you're going to lose all your money and they're not going to teach you crap anyway. Because that's what it is. The people that are teaching them are not freight brokers. I looked up one program today that I'd never heard of before. They got a crap ton of reviews and people really like it. And I looked the guy up and he's got a brokerage authority that's been revoked. I ran the credit check. He didn't pay his damn bills. So these are the people that are out here teaching these freight broker courses. You know, there's other people that are teaching carrier sides, and I mean, they know a little bit. They know a little bit about this certain stuff, you know, and I don't really crap on them that much. I do. But, you know, my thing is whatever we do, whatever Craig and I choose to do and make it, it's literally going to have disclaimers saying, hey, listen, you are not going to be ready to start your own trucking company after this course. You are not going to be ready to be a freight broker. You are not. Well, you probably will be ready to start a dispatch company because it's super duper easy. But we're going to be transparent. You know, you're going to sign something saying, hey, listen, you're probably, there's a good likelihood that you're going to be one of that 90% that does not succeed. Because that's what happens. It happens. You have to go into the mindset saying, hey, I'm going to give it my all and hope I succeed, but I understand I may not. Because I guarantee it affects your drive. It affects your workmanship. You're going to work harder because you realize, hey, there is an end. You know, eventually it's just not going to work. And I think a lot of these programs out now, just, you know, you pay them $500 or $600 or $700 and you go to some 3-day or 4-day or 5-day, or I've seen some that are like 10-day programs. And you leave and you go, What did I learn? What did I learn? Because you can't teach someone fully in a couple of days. You can't do it. You know, and it's sad, you know, because I think a lot of the people have good intentions. They're actually out there to try to help people. Now, you know, most of the ones that I've seen on social media lately are that type. They're out there to help people. I think sometimes their cloud of secrecy, until they act like little children and block other people, you know who you are. Anyway, I'm going to go back. I'm not going to go there. All right. So, so you can look on the events tab, which will be there, you know, later tonight. Click on events because I'm going to have Matt's. I'm going to have all the events that we're going to be at with Freightbroker Live. So I'm going to Matt's and GATS and all the other conventions that I'm going to be at. But then I'm going to have Freightbroker Live conventions or Freightbroker Live events. And that's going to have this little thing I'm talking about with Craig. We're going to take it on the road as well. So we're not going to run boot camps and we're not going to run trainings in hotel lobbies. We're going to try to build something and build a network where people can come and actually learn how to do something and learn whether or not it's actually a decision they want to make. Because I think a lot of people out here are just taking advantage of people, which is sad. And then you have people that are just like, hey, teach me for free. I don't want to pay anything to learn how to do something, which doesn't make sense. All right, so we got a bunch of comments. Remember, the phone lines are open, 914-803-4008. Do you disagree with me on the freight broker schools? Call in, 914-803-4008. Do you run a training program and you really don't like it when I say that kind of stuff and you want to talk to me about it? Guess what? 914-803-4008, or I'll see you at Matt's, one or the other. You know, I don't have any problems with anyone on social media. I don't care to have any problems. I just want people to care about the industry and care about the people that work in the industry. And I think a lot of people, it's gone. I think a lot of people are out for themselves, and it sucks because trucking used to be a good industry. Never was super glamorous. Let me give it that, unless you're into trucks and you just like listening to them and stuff. It was never a glamorous industry, but it used to be held in a higher regard. Now, what do we have? We have one of the most dangerous jobs you can have as a truck driver. The likelihood, I read it every single day. They are drivers that are dying every single day on the road. What other profession do you see that? You don't. It's drivers. It's one of the most dangerous professions on the road. And yet we sit there and we yell at people. I write an article about road rage, and then I get in my car to go to the gym and I get cut off and I completely lose my crap. So, you know, I guess it's selective memory. I don't know. But I want the industry to be better. I want my kids to, you know, run my logistics empire someday. And that it's, you know, run my companies and do all that stuff and have a hand in logistics, because it's something I'm so passionate about. And I think the only way that you can actually express that passion is by teaching other people and expect that passion to continue on, is by teaching them the right way, you know, and that's it. So whatever we figure out is going to benefit everybody. And the only thing, we're not going to, I don't do anything to get rich. I'm not doing Freight Broker Live to get rich. I'm not, you know, brokering to get rich. I've got money. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is create I don't even know what the expression is. Whatever. I'm going off on a tangent there. All right. So Right Lane on YouTube has a bunch of comments. He said he's a certified carrier trainer. Oh, geez. Here he goes. I'm a certified freight broker frustration technician. I like that one. That's good. Oh, man. You went all off. I'm a certified body fat assimilation specialist. I'm a certified truck chef. Ah, there you go. That's a good one. Maybe you should write a couple of articles about truck meals. You said you're looking forward to meeting me at GATS. Yeah, buddy. And then Right Lane said, weird. When regulation was much less, the industry was better. That's true. I mean, but I don't know what it is. I can't say why the industry is how it is. You know, I can't. I have no idea. I'm not even going to try to guess. I just think the industry is what it is, you know, with freight tech coming and the advancements of technology and app providers and all that stuff. It's supposed to make it better. You know what I mean? The industry is supposed to be better with all these advancements. That's the whole premise behind advancing tech, is to make your job easier. But it seems like the further and further we get into these advancements and these tech advancements and all this stuff, the further and further we get into them, the less and less we actually like doing what we're doing. Maybe it's because it takes out the fun of being a driver. I used to like being able to drive 15 hours in a day if I felt like it. I drove, an ELD truck when ELDs came out in 2017. Well, 2018 is when I drove them. And it sucked. It sucked. Limited, trying to figure out. Hell, I went to bed at 1:30 this morning. And I woke up at 5:30 ready to go to conquer the day. You know what I mean? It's that I don't need 10 hours or 14 hours or 12 hours, whatever. You know, I don't need that of sleep. I can't take 10 hours straight without working. Just can't do it. So I know there's other people like me that are sitting there going, wait, what the hell do I do? I'm just going to watch TV for a couple hours. And then you end up getting into the show and you can't fall asleep. And then you screw up your day the whole next day because you're asleep. So then you take a pre-energy or a pre-workout, not workout. You take like a 5-hour energy or something because you're tired, but you know, you got to get your miles in. And then you stop when you finally stop for the night, then you can't sleep because you took the 5-hour energy and then you're screwed. And it goes into a big vicious circle of you losing all your hours and being pissed off that there's ELDs there. You know, look at apps. You have apps like Trucker Tools, which are a solid one app thing, which is essentially combined 15 different apps into one, which that's what they need. But instead, everyone puts out a new app. Hell, I was even thinking about doing it the other day, a cost calculator app. I was like, I could build that. I could build it pretty quick. Couldn't figure out how to get it on the old website, so I'll just build a website. You know, it's just sad. Derek on Facebook said, I need help. I gross a man. What are you trying to say there? All right. You said, I need help. I don't know what I gross a man was, but you said, I gross a man. I was purchasing a truck, $36,000, but I haven't got any money. And can I hold the truck till I get paid? I don't know what the question is. Are you leasing a truck or something? Call in. Derek, phone number is 914-803-4008. Anyone else, you have a question, you don't like what I'm saying, you agree with what I'm saying, call in 914-803-4008. This is a one and only talk show. This is, you get a voice. My videos normally get 2,000 views in 24 hours. And plus, we're on the podcast. We have about 400, 500 downloads every single day. So you have something you want to say about freight. You have something you want to say that is obnoxious about it. You have something that, anything. Give me a call. 914-803-4008. All right. So Freight Pro said on YouTube, he said, but everyone has to be willing to use the freight tech. That's available for our jobs to be easier. If some people refuse to participate, the freight tech promise, then the efficiency promised by the tech starts to fall apart. Yeah, I mean, but with anything, change is hard. You know what I mean? I agree. As everyone knows, I'm a huge proponent of freight tech. I think it makes the job easier. I'm a proponent of like load board, freight matching, that kind of stuff. I'm a proponent about simplifying TMS systems, like using Ascent TMS, which is a very simple system. Don't go into a sales plug, please. But you know, and using tools, you know, Trucker Tools and other apps that are truly meant to simplify the job. ELDs even for that. For some people, they're easier. I'm not against ELDs. I'm against the hours of service because I think the hours of service are not right for me. But you can't go out and choose your own hours. That'd be way too convenient. So I don't know. But we have a call. So let me take this call. What's up, buddy? You're on the air right now. What's up, buddy?
Freight Broker yep. Live groupie.
Yeah, what's up?
So, can I be like the goose to your maverick as far as Freight Broker Live? I want to be like wingman, you know what I mean?
You want to be wingman? What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, Top Gun, is that before your time?
No, they're coming out with a remake too. I used to like that movie, actually.
The remake looks awesome, too.
It does look pretty good.
I'll tell you what. I'm not a great big fan of Tom Cruise, but his acting is pretty damn good, man.
Yeah, I've always said he's good.
I'm not going to talk politics, I promise, as much as it's killing me not to. But you know, the one thing I think carriers and I don't know what it's like from the broker side, but well, let me ask you this before I go. Are brokers complaining about rates as far as their compensation, as far as it hurting their compensation packages?
No. Brokers complain about carriers complaining about rates. That's it.
Got it.
Yeah, brokers, because In all reality, the margin stays the same. you know, because the broker is going to end up making more money, you know, just like any other or cover more volume to make up that money. Like for me, I have a certain number that I when I was actively brokering every day, I had a certain number that I wanted to take home every week. And so if I had loads that I had to pay less, then I would increase my volume and cover more freight that I typically wouldn't even burden myself with because it was lower paying freight and I had to work a little bit harder to cover. But if I knew I wasn't going to get it because I had to work a little bit harder to sell rates, then I would go and get this other freight that I didn't really want to cover just to get it.
So ultimately, it's like pretty much the same struggle that carriers have, which is, well, I got so much I need to make every day, or I want to make every day, so I have to work that much longer in order to make it.
I mean, it's the same thing. Look at it from a practical standpoint. A freight broker makes money from the carrier. So if the carrier margin is low and the freight broker works on a margin basis, which almost all freight brokers do, I think there's a handful that are flat rate, the broker has to make more money one way or the other. So a lot of what the carriers think is that the broker just takes the money off of the carrier's side, which isn't really true, because if the rates are tightened, meaning that the rates are lower and the carriers have more if they can negotiate with the rates a little bit better because they, you know, the rates are low and they need to move the freight and all that stuff, the broker isn't necessarily making more money, if that makes sense. Some brokers are. Some brokers are shady as shit. Well, but I'm not one of them, so I can only speak to myself.
No, yeah, you're making perfect sense. But correct me if I'm wrong. If your shipper gives you like 7 days to move a load, at day, you know, when you've got 5 days left on that clock, your brokers, as a rule, are much more willing to cut into the carrier side of the equation. You know, as the clock starts ticking down, and that's what I.
Yeah, because they're gonna try to sell the load. It's the same thing you're gonna do. You as a carrier, are most likely gonna charge less than you will. Like if you book a load out 4 or 5 days in advance, and you're pre planning your route, you're gonna charge less for that lane because you know you're gonna get dedicated stuff. So you know you're gonna be able to build the load off.
I'm trying to take the moral high ground here, and you're really not making it easy. Okay, I'm just kidding. Not at all. The struggles are the same. It's funny because really all of us are the shippers, the brokers, and the carriers are really all doing the same thing.
Right.
And I wasn't around when $3 a mile rates were commonplace, but it seems like the tide was much more in the carrier's favor back then as far as being able to strong arm the brokers. And I don't doubt for a second we'll get back there, particularly if you get your wish where the government continues to add more and more regulation, therefore increasing the barrier to entry, and rates stay low because you've got...
I mean, as a carrier...
I can't tell you how many companies...
Yeah, you as a carrier can't argue that there needs to be something done about the abundance of people that are out there on the roads that have no business being out there, right?
Well, let me, because you kind of boxed me in with your statement. Let me say, I believe that the way the roadways are now are a problem, but I believe also that the industry would be much more inclined to regulate itself if it didn't have an entity in existence, which everybody is falling back on saying, oh, well, you know, the government will take care of it. Or they've set up the regulations so that we can be safe. So obviously, if there's a new regulation, then they'll create it. But in my experience with anything, whether it be education or transportation or food and drug, anything, the more that they do, the worse it gets. Now, the beauty of the amount of free market that we have left in the system is a lot of times the marketplace can get even in front of the regs and out innovate it. And that works great most times, but eventually the tide will turn. And I think we're starting to see that now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to happen all the time. You know, rates are going to come up eventually, whether it be the end of this year or next year or the year after. Rates are going to come up, and then you're going to have a bunch of people that all jump into the business again, and it's a self-cleansing thing, I think.
There'll be a lag.
Yeah, oh, yeah, there is a lag. I mean, look at it. 2018 was great, and then everyone was still getting in early 2019 going, oh, crap, what did I do? I had one company that I dispatched for that literally signed up, went out and bought a brand new truck, you know, did everything, and then asked me to book them a load. I found them a load when I was dispatching, found them a load. They didn't even have the money to get to the pickup because they spent everything they had setting up their company. You know what? You know where that company is right now? They're not trucking the guy's company driver again. You know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what the education portion of my argument, because that's really the only regulation I think. I think we need hours of service because you're still going to have idiots that run out, but we need to modify the hours like crazy. But, you know, I believe in the ELD. Everyone knows that. It's just because of the simplicity of actually the ELD. I think if the hours were better and it was more manageable, then people wouldn't even complain about the ELD, you know, and but that's my opinion.
There's no purpose of ELD without strict HOS, right?
Well, without HOS in general, yeah, because you always had to do logbooks. It's the fact that people weren't doing them correctly and getting into accidents. They were able to find out that I'm the guy that drove to Florida and back using three sets of logs three times in like 6 days. So, you know, everybody did it. Everyone had to. You had to do what you had to do to make money. But the problem is the first time you go and kill someone.
What's happening now?
How many
carriers do you think are sitting at a? I said the same things are happening now. It's just not, you know, not probably as exaggerated. But how many carriers do you think are sitting at shippers and receivers on duty like they're supposed to be? I mean,
you can't modify it like you used to be able to with the switch to ELDs in December. You can't modify it because I had the same thing. I've also been like I said in previous videos, I'm the guy that had an ELD and accidentally turned it on when I was moving so a big rig could park because I was, you know, hauling a little gooseneck trailer. And so I moved and I went like 7 miles an hour and it turned on. And I smashed a freaking ELD and went and bought a new one and drove all the way home and then said, I'm done trucking.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. We've all done it. But you should have, rather than smash it, you should have annotated your log and then kept paper logs until your next reset. You know,
I should have what?
And done both of them. You should have annotated your electronic log and had a backup paper log the whole time.
Yeah, but they'll still put you in violation.
If they want to give you a violation, they're going to give you a violation. They don't really need a reason. The code book is like 800 pages long. They'll find something if they want to write you up, you know? Yeah. But
I actually have. You can't see, that blue book right there? That is the code. That is the safety regulations. So
it's like almost 800 pages, right?
Yeah, it's just like the hazmat manual. It's tiny. It's got everything. But yeah, who knows? I don't really get into the what's that?
I want to talk about everybody's favorite subject, which is rates, which is, you know, as an armchair economist, as when I entered the industry, I saw that the trend was going down on spot market rates. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, with the cyclical nature of the market, looking at past data, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so if rates are high, well, you've got so many drivers out there who need to make X amount of money a day. So when rates are really high, they're going to take more downtime, which in essence is indistinguishable from a reduction in capacity. If you've got a truck out there that's running 40 hours a week consistently, it's indistinguishable, you know, from a truck that's running 70 hours a week.
Right.
Consistently. The market doesn't know the difference. It's just a matter of capacity, right?
Right.
So I think what happened was, this is my assumption, that when rates spiked, you had a bunch more home time for drivers. And that drew out the lag that it took for the market to correct itself as far as regulating rates. Now, once rates started to regulate, all these guys are like, oh, shoot, I have to run that much more to get my $500 a day, let's say. Now, that's all this much more capacity, which hit the market all at once. So that's what kept rates, and again, this is all my theory, but that's what kept rates suppressed all last year. Now, as that's starting to correct, you know, in economics, they say the cure to low prices is low prices, you know, because now you got people, and they say the same thing about high prices. The cure to high prices is high prices. We definitely saw that. All the carriers, new carriers flooded into the market. mega carriers were hiring drivers like you know, they're taking antacids, you know. So the cure is the problem. If you just let it play itself out, it will cure itself. So I believe, you know, some of this is holding everything else constant, because, you know, if we have an overall financial crisis in this country, well, then, you know, all bets are off. But if everything holds constant this year, I think we're going to see that there's going to not be enough capacity to keep rates in the traditional $2 a mile to $2.30 a mile average guardrails that we've set up over the last few years, or over the last 2-3 years, let's say.
I still think we have an abundance of capacity. So I think the rates have to, or people have to leave in order for the rates to come up. Because otherwise, I think they're going to just stay down.
But they're leaving.
What's that? Well, they have to continue to leave.
Yeah. Well, so. I think that is happening. And the last thing I wanted to say was the struggles that carriers are having, and drivers and owner ops, and is the same struggle that's in every industry right now.
Oh, for
growth
sure.
Rates are slow. You know, there is no magic pill here, except freight broker. That's the magic. That's easy money. Right? I'm kidding. Right.
No, except freight broker live. Then eventually it'll make money. But hey, man, thanks for calling in.
Okay. Yeah.
That was right lean. All right. Hey, buddy, you're on the air. Derek, what's up, buddy?
Basically, I was just calling to, you know, redo that question I was asking. Basically, I started with a guy. I was in an agreement with him to purchase the truck. And yeah. I grossed the truck revenue $36,000 in 3 months.
That's what you were supposed to pay him?
Basically, I grossed the truck that I was driving for him $36,000.
Uh-huh.
Out of the $36,000 in 3 months, he took truck notes, insurance, trailer rental, and basically fuel.
Right.
Well, he's claiming that I owe him money on fuel, but I had no way of seeing what I purchased on fuel through the bank. I kept all my receipts, and my receipts are not adding up to what he's saying.
Right.
Basically, in 3 months, I have not got no money from him. Now, legally, could I hold the truck for collateral until he paid me my money?
Why? But does he owe you money? Or what do your settlements actually look like? Because you haven't said that he owes you money. What you're saying is that you owe him money, or that he thinks you owe him money.
He thinks I owe him money, but the settlements that I'm getting, it shows that he paid me $5,700 so far, which I had not got no money.
Right, because he's canceling it out with the truck note, right?
No. The truck note's paid, everything. Truck note's paid, insurance is paid, trailer rental's paid, fuel's paid, and he's also showing that he pays me, but he's still saying I owe him money.
Yeah, I'm confused because I think there's something that's missing. So do you know how much you've grossed in the 3 months that you've been there?
$36,000.
So you have grossed $36,000. So how much are you paying firm for the truck?
$1,375 a month for the truck note, and $2,800 a month for insurance, and $1,150 for the trailer rental.
What?
And...
You're paying $2,800 a month for insurance?
Yeah, he charges me $700 a week for insurance.
Are you under his authority or your own?
His authority.
How many trucks does he have?
He has the one I got, and he just recently purchased another one when I took over this truck, mate.
What state is he based out of?
Texas.
Jesus Christ. I don't know how people get people. Well, no, he's paying $2,800, or you're paying $2,800. What kind of truck is it? A semi or a hotshot or something?
No, it's a semi. It's a 2014
T680
KW.
All right.
And basically, on top of everything that I told you he's taking, he's also taking 13% of every load for factoring and running under his authority.
Bro.
Yeah.
So give me those numbers again. So you're paying what? Give me all the numbers again.
Okay, I'm paying $1,375 a month for truck notes.
Yeah.
$2,800 a month for insurance.
Uh-huh.
$1,150 for trailer rental.
See,
and
yeah, and that's a month, right?
That's a month.
Right. So you're paying $5,325 a month. So if you break that into four, so you're paying $1,331 a month. So even if you're figuring you're getting paid $2 a mile, which you're probably not for your lane, especially out of Texas, you would be running what? No, I don't know. I'm not doing math right now. You're getting the shaft. For one, insurance costs in Texas are not $2,800 unless you have like DWIs and accidents and you're 20 years old. You know, I don't know. You don't need to say that,
yeah,
but
I'm 42. I'm 42. I've been driving for 17 years. No accidents. Driving record's pretty good. He showed me an insurance quote when he put me on the insurance, and my total annual yearly cost on insurance is $28,000.
For what? Progressive insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, the problem is he's showing how much the policy increases, but that number is going to stay the same if his policy re-rees up in 2 months. That number is still going to show $2,800 or $28,000.
Right.
You know, so meaning that it's just, I don't know. That the insurance rate's too high, first off. You shouldn't be paying that because you're paying him 13%. Anyway, so are you booking your own loads?
Yes. I go off, you know, sometimes I use you, or, you know, I go off the backboard,
the dat load board,
the 1-2-3 load board.
Right.
You know, so, some of the three load boards.
So you said in 3 months, you're looking at, because you did $3,600, right? You said 36,000.
No, I did 36,000 in 3 months.
All right. So just remember the number 16,000. I'll do math real quick to try to figure out what is going on. So you got 36,000 was your total gross. Multiply that by 0.13. So that's 46 out of that. So round that up to 47.
That's 4,700, correct?
Yeah, 47. So you're roughly at $20,000. So unless you've spent $16,000 in fuel in 3 months, then yeah, he owes you money. That's the easiest way to look at it. Because if you take the 15,000 or the 16,000 that you pay in your truck payments, your insurance, you know, your trailer payment, and you multiply that by 3 months, because it's how long you've been running, and subtract that from your 36,000, which is your gross, well, you have to subtract the 13% first. It puts it at like 16,000, roughly. I mean, those are rough numbers. But
right.
You know, so you would have to look at how much fuel you've actually spent.
Well,
it's fishy.
I spent around between around 1,200 to 1,600 a week on fuel.
Yeah, so you probably do owe him money because you're looking at 12 weeks. So, yeah, you probably do owe him money. But that's, I mean, yeah.
I do owe him money.
Most likely, yeah, based on the numbers you just said. I mean, for one, you're paying too high. The truck isn't a bad deal with the truck alone. The insurance rate is crazy. He should be shopping the insurance rate if that's actually what he's even paying. The insurance rate's really high. Trailer rate's really high. What kind of trailer is it?
We were renting a step deck from McKinley Trailers out of Houston.
So Here's a,
you see, that's what I'm saying.
Well, here's a more important question. Why are you only making $36,000 in 3 months?
What do you mean?
Are you out running over the road? That's a low number, man. Because if you average,
I'm over the road.
You're over the road. So you gross $36,000. That's the total invoices, right? You're not screwing up gross and net, right?
Right.
That's a low number, bud. Because that's what, $12,000 a month, which is pretty darn low for what you should be making with a truck anyway. No, that's like dramatically low.
Correct.
You know,
but that's basically when I, you know, he was telling me, you know, because he just started like about a year and a half ago.
Right.
And basically what he was telling me is, you know, the short runs don't pay.
I've been
in this industry, the short runs do pay more than the long hauls.
Yeah, but you got a long haul truck. You gotta listen. Here's the thing. If you're out running over the road, there's no reason why your truck shouldn't be netting $5,000 a week. There's no reason at all. Because you're running out over the road. Because running local isn't going to make you $5,000 a week. Not unless you're up in Jersey or you're up in a very metro area where you can get picks off and on and all that stuff. But
yeah.
But the insurance, your insurance rate is way, way too high. And maybe it's because he's compensating with another driver. If you have a spotless record and you're over 35, you know, tell him to call Brittany Smith and get a new quote. She's someone I refer. And Texas is a cheap state for insurance. It's not the cheapest, but it's a relatively cheap state. And that $2,800 rate, I've gotten, you know, I had a driver quoted that would have been about $2,800 a month, and it's because he had a DWI like 4 months before that. So that's a high rate one way or the other. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's because he's got full coverage on all the equipment and maybe he's got claims or something. I don't know why, but that's very, very expensive. But, and secondly, you should be running more. How much are you grossing a week right now?
How much am I grossing a week?
Yeah. What did you make last week?
Around I took a load from Baton Rouge, Louisiana to Seattle, Washington for $5,300. And then I took a load from Carson, Washington to Reno, Nevada for $900. So that gave me $6,300 revenue.
Okay.
And he said I didn't get no money out of it because my fuel bill was $35,000 on a credit card that's got a $2,000 limit.
Wait, what? Oh, $3,500 on a card. So is he charging you for all the fees and all that?
I don't know what he's charging me for. I can't get access to the statement.
Well, he has to give you settlements. So you can ask him to give a settlement. Otherwise, tell him that he's going to get outed on Freight Broker Live and I'm going to blast him all over the place. He has to give you accurate settlements that outline your every single deduction of your pay. But Right Lane on YouTube says he'll give you a job. But you don't own your truck, though, right? Uh-huh. He still that one of the viewers. Yeah, one of the viewers. Yeah, I hear you. But send me an email after. He needs to go ahead.
Basically what it was is, you know, when all this went on, you know, he sent me an email on basically the terms. Okay.
Right.
My truck note was going to be paid out of the settlement and everything. But when, you know, cause I'm not no dummy to the program. I've been out here long enough to know what to get. Well, you can't go get different insurance under, you know, like if I was to go get insurance under my own and pay it, I couldn't do it because we don't have a lease purchase contract. So basically when I asked them, hey, let's get it written in stone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's when his demeanor changed. You know, that's when he was trying to make it to where I was just going to walk away from this deal.
Right. You know, well, no, and that it seems like that's what you did. Yeah, I mean, Think about it. You're covering the money. You're covering his pay. He's probably making money on your. He probably went to one of these programs I was talking about earlier. You know, he hired a driver. He's got a truck. He's renting a trailer, and he's passing on all the costs to you. Because if he's renting the trailer, he's probably paying like $800. Because you said it's a step deck. In all, man, you should be making more. I mean, last week was a good week, but if you have weeks like that every single week, granted your mileage was high, but if you have weeks like that every single week and you're averaging $6,000 a week, you should be at your this quarter. You should have did double what you did. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, you know, I can email you one of the spreadsheets and show you what kind of money I made.
Yeah, like do it. My email is live@freightbrokerlive.com. If you can remember it. Live@freightbrokerlive.com.
Live@freightbrokerlive.com. Okay. Yeah, I'll send that to you and let you look over it, and I'll watch your face expression when you see it.
Yeah, well, if you send it to me right now, I'll look at it. But, all right, bud?
Okay.
Yeah, all right, man.
I'll send it to you.
All right. Well, that was something else. Freight Pro said that guy needs a TMS. He actually does. You know, your system would be all right. It's not necessarily catered to that type of business, but it would still do a lot better than whatever system he's using right now, which isn't one. And Right Lane said 36 per quarter is not low. Yes, it is. Absolutely is. 36 per quarter divided by 12 is low. It's not what I used to make. Maybe that's what people are making now with trucks, but that's not what I used to make. I just messed up. So that's $3,000 a week, which is on the low end of how much a track, especially a step deck, should be making, in my opinion. Again, but what do I know? I don't drive truck anymore. I don't run trucks. I don't do any of that. So I may be talking out my ass, but the only way you're going to prove me wrong is by showing me otherwise. But I could, and that's why I asked him what he made last week, because he said he made $6,000 last week. Well, if you do $6,000 and you multiply that by 12, guess what? It's not $36,000. You know, that's kind of my rationale. And here's the thing too. If you got fixed expenses, and I should have said this to him, hopefully he's still listening. If you have fixed expenses, so say you have, you know, a crazy high insurance rate like he does, you got a crazy truck payment. Well, the truck payment was all right. And you got a trailer payment that's a little high. If you have those fixed rates, if you run more miles, it's like what we were talking about yesterday, right, Lane, on YouTube. If you run more miles, then your operational costs your operational costs go down per mile because you're running more miles. That's your fixed costs, rather, go down. Your fuel costs and everything are going to go up. I don't really understand what he was talking about, the fuel. And I guess he spent more than whatever the case is. But even if you break it down, he's paying $1,300. If he spent $3,500 in fuel and his weekly like takeaway is $1,300 or so, $1,400, you're looking at what, 49? So he still should have made some money off of that company. That's why I'm curious to see. Oh, you know what? We forgot about that 13%. So if you had $6,200 and this is getting all crazy. I know this doesn't make for a good show, but now I'm curious. Oh, God. Times. Oh, come on. Trying to use a calculator. 6,200 divided by 13 is $800. So you take that out of the 6,200. So you're at 54. And then he's roughly, what I say again? Derek, the email, someone type the email in there, will you please? It's live at, here, I can do it actually. Live@freightbrokerlive.com. I can't see if I type that correctly, but I think that's it. It's not love at Freight Broker Live. It's live. I can't type. Unbelievable. I just wrote love in a chat full of truckers. Thank you, Vincent. All right, but. Yeah, at any rate, the guy, he made one good week, but still his fuel costs maybe were high. I don't know. I'm not looking at numbers, so it's pretty hard to see, but he should be making something. But the goal in trucking, if you haven't caught on, is to make as much money as you can, whether you're a broker, whether you're a dispatcher, whether you're a trucking company owner. So, you know, $36,000 per quarter to me isn't a lot because my trucks were averaging $5,000 a week. Hell, even when I dispatch trucks, They were making $5,000 a week. On the low ends, if they still were willing to drive and run and you know, do what they had to while staying legal, I'd make them at minimum $4,000 a week. You know what I mean? That's just the way it's just how I dispatch. My trucks aren't going to run for $3,000 a week. There's no way I'm going to make a living, especially with costs and all that stuff. Hell, for my little straight trucks that I would finance, I paid something stupid because they were like a, you know, they were brand new trucks, but they were financed through like a local dealer. And, you know, I think I was paying something stupid, like $800 a week for each one of them. So I had to make more money. And that's the kind of mindset that you have to be in, Derek, if you're still listening. You have to make as much money as you possibly can because you want to pay off that truck. You want to buy that truck and own that truck. And that's the only way you could do it. Running short miles, not to say that you're doing it every week, but if you're running, you know, the kind of mileage that you did last week, if you're running that every week, then your numbers would be much higher. Granted, so your fuel costs are going to go up higher, but that's where you're going to start seeing a profit. You know, the deal for the truck doesn't seem like it's a bad deal considering I've paid a lot more than that for trucks. And the trailer, maybe it's high, but if it's a new step deck, who knows? But yeah, that's what I'm saying, Liliana Rivera. That's $3,000 a week gross. That's not enough to run a trucking company, in my opinion, unless you own the equipment outright and you have way cheaper insurance. But $2,800 a month for trucking insurance. That's why companies go out of business. And that could very well be the insurance cost. It may very well be $2,800 a month. And that's why all these people are going out of business, because that insurance rate, because think about it. If you don't need to use your insurance, it's like my wife's rationale between health insurance. If you don't use the health insurance, then you are literally throwing away your money. And she's very right. But then, you know, we still have health insurance because what if we actually need it? It's kind of the same thing in the trucking side. You pay $2,800 a year and you're a spotless driver, or $2,800 a month rather, spotless driver, never have any issues. Why can't you just, you know, take out a loan for that amount and self-insure yourself or something? I don't know. It doesn't make any damn sense. The insurance rates are part of the reason why trucking is so crappy, because insurance are high. They pay out very quick. They settle super easy. And that's one of the reasons why all these lawyers are like, hey, listen, you got hit by a truck. You got your foot run over. Let me go and sue you. You know, it's just that. All right. I'm just waiting for this email. I think I just got it. I'm going to check it out real quick. And if you were a FT Nomad, 3K is low. I don't know what that means. Full-time Nomad, 3K. No, that's not true. But that's my opinion. Again, we may differ. I know, like you said, you invest a lot of money, so you bought your equipment, I'm guessing. Oh, bro. Yeah, but see now. I see. I'm not going to put you out here, but I see kind of what's going on here. I'm going to have to look at this a little bit more because I see. Oh, no, I see it. Yeah, I mean, this isn't making for good radio, and this is a lot bigger of a spreadsheet than I saw. So I'll look at it and see what's up. At a different point, but yeah, you sent me a very in-depth, I thought you were sending me one paycheck. I didn't realize you were sending me the whole breakdown, but I'll figure that out and I'll look, and, it's got all the breakdowns. So, but yeah, trucking's weird. You get carriers like this all the time, which sucks. Liliana said she runs a carrier in Texas who has a new authority and he only pays like $1,500 a month or less. Yeah. I don't know why his insurance cost is too high. Hell, $2,800 a month would be high for Florida, for Southern Florida. You know, we had less than $2,800 a month, and we had three trucks on it out of Georgia. So, and obviously in Jersey, I paid like, I don't know, $17,000 a month, but we had a lot of trucks and warehouses and all that stuff. All right, Derek, I got it. It's way too complex. I'm not going to try to decipher that on the air. And you don't have your mileage in here either. That would be curious to look at. But I'll look at it later, and then we'll go from there. And I have your email, so I'll send you an email. All right, so let's see if there's any other comments. Make sure no one else is waiting on the phone. Nobody is. All right. Yeah. Trucking's interesting. You just gotta, if you're making $3,000 a week and you're happy, then good for you. I mean, that's good. If you can do that and you can make happy or, be happy and spend enough time. Me personally, when I dispatch trucks, and I granted it may be harder now, the rates could be lower. Everything could be quite a bit different than what it was when I was doing it. I could not survive on $3,000 a week with expenses. There's no way. There's just no way. That means you're not running enough, as much as that sucks, or the rates are bad or whatever, you're sitting or you need a new dispatcher. Or Derek, if you're booking your own freight, then, send me your phone number or something and I'll talk to you or try to put you in contact with someone that could help try to make you more money, because that's, something's not right there. It doesn't make any sense. If you got a truck and you're willing to go out and make money, then you should be making quite a bit more than that, in my opinion. But all right, buddy. Liliana said for him to spending $1,600 a week in fuel, then he must be running 2,800 miles or more at 5.5 miles in a gallon. That's averaging $1 a mile. Yeah. Yeah, something's not making sense. He did send me a very detailed spreadsheet, so I'm going to look at it and try to decipher it. Derek, full forewarning, it's going to be at some point tonight that I'm going to do it, because when I end this video, I got to do all the post-production stuff, and then I'm going to go to the gym, and then I will come back and do this unless there's a breaking news story, and then go from there. But yeah, this is gnarly. I don't even get it. You spend a lot of money in fuel, bro. From what I could tell, you're spending a lot of money in fuel. But we'll figure it out. All right, buddy. And everybody else, no, Derek, I'm deleting your comment. I don't know if I can do it for everybody, but don't put your phone number in a chat, bud. Just send it to me in email. But yeah, all right. Stay tuned to everything. If you're interested in taking our no bullshit thing, whatever we're doing, log on tonight at some point. I'll have it up. Remember the events tab. If you haven't already, join Freight Broker Live. On the forum, you can comment about stuff. Derek, you can write comments about why this company sucks, or I see you do a lot of work for a certain three-letter broker. You can write about your experiences there. It's all anonymous. You don't have to use your real name. I need to get people to use that forum on there. So you could do that by going to freightbrokerlive.com, click on the virtual truck stop, go down to Trucker's Lounge, and then register there, and you can write comments and all that crap. And then what else? Dog's barking, so it's awesome. All right, and then just check out the website and do all that awesome other stuff, and I'm probably just going to get a package. And so I'm going to end this right now. Shut up.